Welcome to the LYC Podcast. We are a youth community that believes in loving people and meeting them where they are. Our desire is that through this message, God's love for you is confirmed, your hope in Jesus is renewed, and your faith is awakened.
How's everybody doing? How's spring break? It's good. Anybody here not know who I am? Why is this old guy up there? My name is Dusty, and I'm going to be honest, it's a privilege and an honor to be up here. In case many of you don't know, I actually served down here for 6 years, took 6 years off, and Sebastian tricked me into coming back. So at the rate I'm going, I'll be here for 6 more years. That's what I do. I was 6 years on, 6 years off. So if you're in sixth grade, you're going to see me a lot. If you're graduating, I'm sorry. But Sebastian had some quick announcements for me to run through. Water baptism is this Sunday. If you have not been water baptized, highly recommend it, especially if you've given your life to Jesus and not been water baptized. It took me until my 20s to finally do that. Don't be like me. Be like who's been water baptized in here? Raise your hand. Be like those people. Don't be like me. Don't wait. But I think we got to sign up right because it's this Sunday. So if you're going to be in church this Sunday and you want to be water baptized, come find Sebastian or Ari. Don't find me because I don't know how to get you signed up. The next thing was next Wednesday, as I think we're finishing up this series. And this Wednesday after that, so 2 weeks from today, we will be meeting, but we will not have a service here because they're doing the Bolivia yard sale thingy. So we're actually going to be, is it official where we're going? We're going to Sonic. So we're going to meet at Sonic right down the road, right? I'll make sure I'm not speaking wrong. We're going to meet at Sonic. We're going to hang out and just eat some food together. Does that sound fun? Good, because we're going to do it whether it sounded fun or not. All right, so I'm old school. I don't have an iPad or a Mac Mini or whatever Sebastian and Matt use. I'll say this. It has been probably 7 to 8 years since I have stood behind this podium. So I'm a little rusty. Is that okay? Are we going to get through it? Even if we're done at like 9 o'clock, is that fine? I heard 3 yeses and no nos, so I can take my time. So we're in a series called Make Your Faith Your Own. I heard Sebastian say this ain't your grandma's faith. This ain't your mommy and daddy's faith. It's got to be your faith. I love this series personally, because I understand in real life, if our faith is not our own, if it's what our parents have taught us, or we just are here because our parents make us, when life gets slightest bit difficult, your faith will not really mean much if it's not personal. So that's why this series is so important. And I think we've been covering these 4 fence posts, which will probably be on the screen in a moment. The first fence post that may or may not be on there was, anybody know before? Oh, dang it. Reading God's Word. Okay, don't look at it. I'm just kidding. Reading God's Word, it was about reading the Bible, right? We have to get God's Word in us. That's important. The other one was guarding our hearts before spring break. Did everybody guard your heart over spring break? I know some people in here watch scary movies. Where are they at? Where's the scary movie people at? Maggie's hiding her face. We have to keep the good stuff in, guard it in, and we have to keep the bad stuff at. Guys, listen, I'm pretty old. I'm the oldest person in the room, for sure. And I remember being in middle school and high school and what culture looked like. And then when I served here for young people for so long, I seen what they went through. So I've seen a few generations of kind of the attacks on our young people. And I think the world is more jacked up today than it has ever been. So that's why guarding our heart is a big deal. Make sure what we are allowing to get inside of us is a very, very big deal. And I get the privilege, I asked Sebastian, can I please handle guarding? No, we mixed it up. I'm doing being planted in God's house. That's week 3. And then Sebastian's going to finish it up next week with Godly Community. And this ties directly into that. So I'm excited for him to close it out. I'm going to miss this series, but I don't think this will be the last time we talk about making your faith your own. So I don't know if you guys know this, but I've already mentioned how old I am. I have 5 kids. Is that a lot? That's a lot, isn't it? Can you write this in your notes when you're older and you're married? 5 kids is too many. 3, 4 is fine. 2, 1. If you have 5, it's just too many. It's too many kids. But so this go around serving down here to young people, I'm more of a dad than I ever have been. So is it cool if I just talk to you guys like a dad? Is that cool? Like I'm not gonna, I was thinking about like this isn't like a mommy message. You know, mommy's kind of, they kind of sugarcoat it. It's like, oh, honey, this is a dad. I'm just going to give it to you straight. Are y'all cool with that? Write down the title of tonight's message. Get your butt in church. I need everybody to take your finger. Don't touch your neighbor, but stick it right in their face and say, get your butt in church. And then tell them, I'm already here. Obviously, this was stupid. This message is for all the people who are not here, right? I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are all here. I'm glad to see you're laughing and giggling. Sometimes I'm back there in the booth and you guys are the quietest, most respectful bunch of kids. I don't know, like you guys need to get rowdy. I don't care, get rowdy. Don't throw stuff at me, but you can get rowdy. So I titled, also the reason I couldn't get this title out of my mind, Get Your Butt in Church. For one, it's like a dad thing to say. Two, how many heard Sebastian mess up a few weeks ago and say, I like big? Yeah. That was inappropriate. But it reminded me of the last time I did do this, I actually said something inappropriate. You'll have to ask Matt Tillery about it when he's back. But wait till you're 18 to ask him. So we're going to start out in Luke chapter 2, verse 41. We're going to read all the way to verse 50. I'm going to try to read fast because we want to make time for small groups. Every year, Jesus's parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, how many 12-year-olds we got in here? Wes? Okay, cool. How many people have been 12 before? How many people have never been 12? Got a few. Oh, babies. We got babies. All right, when Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. Been there, done that. I have kids, so I know what this is about. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. Three days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, aka the church, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere. Nobody knows frantic like a parent looking for a lost kid. Let me tell you. I'll tell you about it in a minute. But why did you need to search? He asked. Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? Church. But they didn't understand what he meant. Point number one. Jesus went to church. Pretty simple. Jesus went to church. Told you I'm rusty. I thought I had my notes here ready, but I don't. So Jesus, how many of you know, as a Christian, Jesus is our example, right? Like he's who we're modeling our life after. We should go through the scriptures and read and watch how he did, watch how he interacted with people, the things that he did, the things that he said. And I think it's interesting as a middle schooler, as a youth, if you will, we see Jesus in Luke chapter 2 talking about the priority and finding himself in the church building. It's interesting to me because it's like they are on this like family vacation, if you will. And imagine if you were like, where did anybody go out of town for spring break? Go somewhere cool, like a beach? Where'd you go?
Italy.
I've never even been outside of the United States. Okay. Imagine you're in Italy or Myrtle Beach. Let's do that one. It's a little more practical. And you see a church down the road and you're in middle school and you're like, oh, this is cool, but like I'm heading over to the church. That's kind of weird, right? But Jesus knew from a really early age how important this kind of was. And so I'm reading this and I'm like, well, I'm not like 12 anymore. I'm not in high school or middle school anymore. But you guys can kind of relate how crazy that is that he's your guys' age and he's by himself in church. Well, personally, I can relate to Mary and Joseph because I know Jesus had siblings, and for the purpose of this message, I'm going to spill my water. I don't remember how many siblings Jesus had, and I didn't look it up, but that's irrelevant because I have 5 kids, and I understand what it's like for a child to go missing. See, I have my youngest is 9 days away from being 1 year old. So he's about 16 to 18 pounds. He's about this big. He can't walk. He can't stand up on his own. But if me or his mom or his siblings are not watching him for more than 10 seconds, he will be up our flight of stairs and in a different room, which is a little bit terrifying because he can't stand. He can't do anything. And if you blink, he's like, hey, do you know where Judah? Judah's his name. Very good, awesome, biblical, strong name. Judah, where is Judah? Have you seen Judah? And you're looking downstairs because you don't assume that a 10-month-old or 11-month-old can climb to the top of the stairs. So it's like this freak out, this frantic. His parents were, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Just like, I'm looking for my child. And I'm not saying that I'm a better parent than Mary and Joseph, but what I am saying is I've never lost a kid for 3 straight days. Just going to throw that out there. But what I love about Jesus is that he constantly models for us, as we read the scriptures, he's constantly modeling for us how to live. And from a young age, we see Jesus was about his father's business. And no, we're not talking about his dad's carpentry business. We're talking about God the Father. So before we go to point number two, can we go back to actually verse 51, Luke 2:51 is where we stopped. Verse 50, Luke 2:51. I hope that's in there. It's not in there. Okay, I got it. Then he returned, talking about Jesus, he returned to Nazareth with them, his parents, and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. That really has nothing to do with tonight. I just want you guys to know that Jesus was obedient. Look at that. Jesus was obedient to. We should do a series, Sebastian, on being obedient to your parent. I'm probably going to be the only one who enjoys it. Such an oddly specific thing to put in the scriptures. But he even modeled obedience to our parents. Hebrews 10:23-25. Hebrews 10, that should be on the screen. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Here's where it gets good. And let us not neglect our meeting together. Somebody said amen. As some people do, say boo. If you're not reading the Bible and don't laugh occasionally, I think that is such a sarcastic thing to squeeze in. Like, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. Look at all the empty chairs, as some people do. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I forgot where I was, y'all. But we live in a... So this is Paul writing, or at least we assume it's Paul. Has that ever been settled? Do we know it's Paul writing Hebrews? It's up for debate, right? We think it's Paul inspired. But he is writing, and he makes specific mention to not neglect the meeting of ourselves together. And it's interesting to me because I know from experience, and you guys can probably relate, that when life gets busy, when school gets out of hand, when family stuff gets out of hand, when the older you get, you have jobs and school projects, whatever, fill in the blank, what is the first thing that we do to free up our schedule? I guess I can't make it on Wednesday night. I got work. I got school homework and stuff. And I think we need to understand the importance of being in church. That's what tonight is about, is we have to stop treating church like it's an extracurricular activity. Well, like, Dusty, you don't understand. Like, it's baseball season right now. And so, like, but in the summer, like, I do church season. And then in the spring, we do football. And then in the winter, I'm back at church. That's just kind of how my life works, is we treat church and being in the house of God like it's an extracurricular activity. And Jesus definitely does not do that. He talks about the importance and how much of a priority church should be, and that we should not treat it like a luxury or an extracurricular activity. Not only did Jesus make being in church a priority, point number two, Jesus engaged in church. Jesus engaged. He did not get engaged in church, but he was engaged during church. You guys are taking notes, right? We got small groups, so... got to take notes so we know what we're talking about. Can you pull up just verse 46, Luke 2, just verse 46? 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders, listening. Somebody say listening. Listening to them and asking questions. He He was sitting among the religious teachers. He was sitting among the pastors, the adult leaders, if you will, listening and asking questions. Listening to them and asking questions. Here's what Jesus wasn't doing, playing on his iPhone 1. There was never an iPhone 1, was there? Why did they skip straight to 3? I don't know, just iPhone. That's crazy. I wish they had an iPhone 1. That's what they should have called it. But he wasn't getting dominated by Wes over at Smash Bros. Has anybody ever beat Wes at Smash Bros? A couple people? Kimberly has. He wasn't out on the basketball court with Matt Tillery. And these are convenient examples because I'm no good at basketball or Smash Bros. So you never see me doing those things. I'm just chilling. I'm really good at chilling. But I'm just kind of standing around. But Jesus wasn't there. He wasn't like a youth who was like, oh, this is cool hangout time. Not that that's not important, because it's very important. But Jesus understood that he needed to be engaged in church. It's one thing to show up. It's one thing just to be like, this is what we do on Wednesday. My mom drops me off, so I don't have a choice. But he was engaged in church. And we know that because he was listening and asking questions. Does anybody know the difference between listening and hearing? Have you ever thought about that? Some people probably know what I'm talking about. I have a, imagine you're at school, Starbucks, whatever, and you kind of hear like a conversation kind of going on. And you kind of pick up on it, and you're like, what are they talking about? Who did that? Well, how did they get in that situation? Because when you're listening to somebody's conversation, you instantly just start having questions. You're like, wait a second. And so that should be a test to me, because trust me, I'm guilty. I've been sleepy on a Sunday morning listening to someone preach for 50 minutes. I'm not naming names, Pastor Gill. And church ends, and you're like, yeah, I got it. You go to a small group, and you're like, nailed it. If this is a test, if you know you're listening to what God's saying, if you have questions. I have a really funny story that my daughter hates. the difference between hearing and listening. When at 8 o'clock, approximately 8 o'clock p.m., is when daddy gets grumpy, correct? I get grumpy at 8 p.m. You want to know why? Because I've had a long day, and I want the kids to go to bed. So around 8 o'clock, without fail, I say, hey, kids, go upstairs, get your PJs on, go potty, wash your hands, brush your teeth. Pretty simple, right? 5 to 10 minutes later, I stroll upstairs, and guess how many of them have done any of the things that I just said? Zero. And so then I get really grumpy. Apparently, I'm in a bad mood, and they make fun of me for being in a bad mood. But that's because they heard me say, go get ready for bed. But they didn't listen because they didn't do anything. They didn't have any. It was like, yeah, I heard you. How many people have you been there? I heard you. But then, like, 10 minutes later, you're like, what did you tell me to do? Did you come up here and tell me to play on the Switch? No, tell me to get ready for bed. God, I gotta get an iPad, y'all. So Jesus wasn't in church just hearing and hanging out, playing on his phone, hanging out with people. He was engaged in church. He was listening. I'm going to keep saying it till you guys get it. He was listening and asking questions, which I think is such a big deal why I get so excited about small groups. I love that we've incorporated that, because if we're listening to the Word of God, if we're listening to whomever has a microphone, we should be instantly going, well, wait a second, how does that apply to me? Well, wait a second, what does that mean? Wait a second. And we should be thinking of questions as we go. All right, let's keep it moving. Point number 3, plant yourself in church. Pretend like you are a rose bush and plant yourself in church. You know, I'm not a gardener, but I am starting to get serious about grass, and we're about to get ready for a little garden in our backyard. But some of the basic things about being planted is if I want to grow a little apple tree, I go buy a baby apple tree, and I put it in the ground. But then like 3 months later, I'm like, you know what? I think I want it on the side of my house. And so I dig it up and move it over there. And then I'm like, you know what? I actually want it in my front yard. If I keep moving it and digging around, it's going to eventually die. It just never develops deep roots. It never develops to be a real good, awesome apple tree. But instead, we plant it there. We leave it. This is where it's going to be forever, or until I move and somebody chops it down. and then eventually we'll have fruit. Let's look at Psalms 92. It's three verses, 12 through 14. Psalms 12, there we go. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, like me, they will still produce fruit and they will remain vital and green. That was it, probably it. Was there more? That's fine. So we see in Psalms 92, when you're planted, we flourish, we produce rich, fruitful lives, we remain vital and green. So like, Dusty, we're like 15. You're old, so this really, really applies to you. But just like I talked about that apple tree, it is very important that we get planted and rooted into a church. And so here's the real reason. I've got a few minutes left because I'm trying to go fast. We have lots of time. And the last little bit, I'm going to tell a story of why I wanted to preach on the subject of being in church. It's a little bit of a life story. Because just simply being in church is, yeah, obviously Jesus changed my life. But making the decision to be in church every week is ultimately what changed my life. So rewind the tape about 16 years ago. I've been married the summer, I think will be 17 years. Don't quote me on that. It might be 18. I don't know. But me and my wife had been married for just a little bit. We dated for a couple years, engaged for a couple years, got married. And if you don't know anything about my past, which we can say for another day, I had a really rough childhood and growing up. Went through a bunch of stuff that I would not recommend or wish for anybody. So I came with a lot of baggage, even as a young age. And within the first year of marriage, when it's supposed to be like, Kimberly, correct me if I'm wrong, marriage that first year is so fun, right? It's so fun. There's no challenges. It's super easy, and it's like the honeymoon stage. Well, like most marriages, all my junk started coming to the surface, and it became a big deal to my wife, and she made it very clear, if this is something we're going to have to deal with, I don't know if we can stay married. Keep in mind, this is the woman that I've been dating for and married to for 4 to 5 years now. Couldn't imagine life without her, and she's like, hey, the only way I think we can get past this is if you commit to going to church with me every single week. Now, keep in mind, at this time, I'm telling the story, not a Christian. In fact, I was vocally an atheist. I grew up a very hard childhood, and I made some decisions that God must not be real based on how I grew up. But to appease my wife, I knew the only thing I could do was to reluctantly agree. All right, fine, whatever. If that means staying together, I will be in church every single Sunday if that's what you want. So we found a church here in Fort Mill. It was not this one. And we went, and I hated every second of it. I'm not going to lie. I did not want to go. I didn't like the style. I didn't like what they were doing. But eventually, you're just there every week, and you're like, I guess I'll pay attention and kind of listen a little bit and start meeting some people. And over the course of about a year of just being in church, you just start. That's why you guys show up every week. If you're just here, you will get the word of God in you. Even if you try so hard, it's just seed being scattered. Eventually, something's going to take root. And we're in this church that I didn't want to be a part of, but I'm learning about God, learning about things and starting to understand some things. But I still was like, yeah, this ain't for me. But like, it makes sense for people. Like, I can see why people are Christians, but not for me. Well, during that first year, my dad and I did not have a very good relationship. I had pretty much not talking to him in several, many, many years. Probably from like 16, 17 till 20-something. And my grandmother told me like, hey, your dad's in the hospital and it's not looking good. This might be a good time for you to kind of go see him. I'm not sure how much time he has left. So I go to the hospital and I quickly realized my dad's not going to live much longer. And I knew we just didn't have time to reconcile and go through and work through all the things that had been in the past. And so I just thought, hearing about church and God and heaven and hell, and was like, hey, we're not going to have time to get through this right now. But if my dad can go to heaven, then eventually I can go there and we could work it out then. So I asked my father-in-law at the time, I was like, hey, I want to make sure my dad goes to heaven, even though I don't really know what that means, and I'm not really ready to make that decision. I want him to go to heaven. And so I said, could you come to the hospital and pray with him and explain what's going on? Because he was not a Christian either. He lived a very not fun life. He was homeless, drug addict, abused alcohol, all this. He did all the things. And so we go and prays for my dad. And my dad gives his life to Jesus just a couple weeks before he passed away. And still, even then, I was like, yeah, this kind of feels real, but I'm just not 100% in. But at least I know if there is a heaven, my dad will be there. And then eventually, maybe I'll come around to that idea. So after that, of course, as you might imagine, life was, it just makes you think things differently when something like that happens. And so I told my wife, I was like, hey, you know, I'm cool with going to church, but like, this ain't the church for us. Like, one, I don't want to be here too. I'm not getting a lot out of it. And so somebody was like, hey, you should try that church in TKK. So boom, here we are, almost 15 years later. And so keep in mind, this all started with my wife saying, you're going to church with me or else. So I went every single Sunday. Because I remember a Sunday, I probably shouldn't tell this story. You want me to tell the story? It was like a Saturday, and we went out with some friends, and I was kind of purposely drinking too much so that I wouldn't have to go to church the next day. And we went home, and it was way late, and it's not good. And she's like, just so you know, we're going to church in the morning. And I did. I woke up with a headache, feeling sick, and we went to church. And so anyway, we find ourselves here at Lakeshore in the fall of 2009, and I'm still just honoring my promise to my wife, not to Jesus, not just her. I'm just, all right, we'll just keep going, keep coming, keep coming. And then, you know, obviously, Pastor Gil is very near and dear to my heart, so he was able to get to me a little bit. Jesus was able to use him. God was able to use him a little bit more so than the last church. But on Easter 2010, so it's been 14 years ago, I finally, you know, gave my life to Jesus. And we've just been here every week since. And I'll tell one more story, because literally every single week, unless I'm physically out of town or physically sick or now have sick kids, we're in church. If you don't see me on a Sunday, like, you're either not looking hard enough, or I am on my deathbed and throwing up or something like that, or one of my kids is, and it was my turn to stay at home. But it's interesting to me that all I ever did, what really changed my life, was just being like, I guess I'm just going to go to church every week because my wife is making me. Hey, I guess I'm just going to go to church every week because my parents are making me. Hey, I'm going to go to church every week. And I don't really know what that looks like or what that means. But it's like you're here and you're hearing God's word, one of those fence posts. You start guarding your heart. My wife started like, hey, we're not watching that anymore. And I'm like, man, this is like no fun. Just, guys, honestly, serving God has been the most fun time I've ever had in my life. I can promise you life has been much better post-Jesus than pre-Jesus. It is not fun being sick because you drank too much. That's not fun. You know what's fun is serving the Lord and serving in his house. But and so we just kept on coming. We just kept on coming. And so then all of my kids, literally all five of them, by the born and then like 2 weeks later, they're like in church, right up in L Kids. And this is kind of a silly story, but I'll probably start to wrap it up so we have time to talk. But this was several years ago. I was asking Faith on the way here if she remembers this, and she doesn't, but I remember it. It was like, you know, everybody, who remembers COVID? It seems like so long ago, but yesterday too. And so like we couldn't go to church. We had to like watch it online. And man, that's how I knew how important church was to me personally when I didn't go to church for like 6 months or a year or whatever it was. I don't remember. Because when it was time to go back to church, I was like, I don't know, man, this online thing is kind of cool. And just get on my couch and watch it. And I remember, so we came back and the kids were all fully engaged in like L Kids and all that stuff. And me and my wife had the bright idea. Cause again, we got some bad habits of not being in church during COVID. And we're like, hey kids, surprise, tomorrow we're not going to church. We're going to the mountains. It's going to be so fun. And our kids started crying. We want to go to church. And we're like, me and my wife were like laughing, like, but we want to go to the mountains though. And like, we have to go today because I was working on Saturdays. And they were just crying. And it was, we both felt so convicted instantly. It's like, we have developed a pattern in our children's life. We just go to church on Sundays. Hey, we just go to church on Wednesdays. The thing that got me in trouble the last time I was speaking is I was on this tangent about, it's just easy, it's just convenient to be like, well, I can't go to church because I'm just really busy. Like, I'm just so busy. And I was like, guys, I have five kids. I'm running a small business. I don't sleep. I'm here every Sunday and Wednesday. And it's not because I have free time. It's because I've just committed. I will be in church on Sundays and Wednesdays. I don't really feel, we were joking about this at work today. I'm really going off on a tangent. We have time. But people are like, I can't go out tonight. I'm just not feeling well. Like, okay, are you sick or can you come to church? Like, obviously this is not to condemn anybody because like, I got a big project due Thursday. Okay, well, you should have done it Tuesday. My point is we have to recognize young people, especially me, hey, church is a priority for me. I'm just going to be there Wednesday if I have to get there late or leave early or Sunday mornings. I'm just going to be in church. I'm going to be in church. This is not to make us feel bad. This is not legalistic. This is us saying Jesus showed us what it looked like. Jesus was engaged. If you're in church physically, even when you know how many Wednesdays I leave work and my wife drops off Faith at work with me and I'm like, I'd just rather go home. It's been a long day. But then I get here and I'm like, I'm in the presence of the Lord. I'm amongst like godly community, which Sebastian's going to preach about next week, so I won't go into that. But guys, we have to, this is what I want you to take away. If you want to thrive, don't wait until you're 20-something. I'm preaching to people, I'm not preaching for tonight because you're all here. Think about when you're in middle school, you're going to be in high school soon. And then you're going to be like, well, now I have even more homework. If church isn't a priority when you're in middle school, it won't be when you're in high school. Because as soon as life gets busy, as soon as the license comes, as soon as a girlfriend or boyfriend comes, as soon as something happens, as soon as you graduate, oh, well, I'm just going to take off like 4 years in college and I'll just circle back to it. Don't do it. Just hear it from me. Do not do it. Make church a priority. Yes, all these things are important. I'm just telling you, for me personally, my life would change because for one, my wife made me. So if you're in the boat of like, my parents made me come every week, road like this, it is what it is. Good. You're in good hands.
We hope you've been inspired by this word. To help awaken your faith on a regular basis, subscribe now so you can be alerted when we have a new message. Thank you so much for listening.